I'm Nadine Boughton, and this is my husband, Otto Lasky, who I'm thrilled to be introducing tonight. I thought I'd start on a personal note that we actually met over poetry, and it was a personals ad, and he was somebody in his 50s writing poetry, and I was very passionate about poetry, so we met. Our first meeting, Grendel's Den in Cambridge, and I came with this big volume of Akhmatova, and we had this spirited conversation about Russian poetry. And after that, I wrote a poem about meeting him, and in it, I said that he had a mind elegantly chiseled, blazed like that he had a mind elegantly chiseled that blazed like broken diamonds. And so I kind of fell in love with this very exquisite mind. And it's really his range that is so wonderful. I'm probably embarrassing him at this point. He kept saying, talk about the work, don't talk about me, but I have to talk a little bit about him. So he's full of opposites. He's both poet and scientist, musician and theoretician. So he has these wonderful ranges. And so this abstract thinking along with a very soulful depth. Can you hear me? Okay.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
So a little bit about sort of the factual background. He was born in Poland and raised in Germany. He came to the U.S. on a Fulbright and came to attend the New England Conservatory, where he got a degree, a master's in music composition. And he got a Ph.D. in philosophy and a Psy.D. in psychology. He's the author of many books. One of them's called Music, Memory, and Thought, and another is Understanding Music Through AI. His creative work covers poetry, music, and visual art. And the poetry he really began when he was a teenager, and first in his native tongue of German, and then later in English. Music has been with him the longest. He's a composer and a musicologist, and he composed mostly chamber music for instrumentals and voice, but the other very large half of his music work was electroacoustic music, and I could say very influenced by Stockhausen, just to sort of set it in place. And then the last 5 years, visual art kind of blossomed, and he began with animation. Most people would begin with maybe a little brush on some watercolor paper, but he dove into animation, and also taking stills from that and doing digital paintings. The animations sometimes include his poetry and his music. So there's this permeability between these three mediums and these different modes of expression. And it's all tied together by Otto's long relationship with computer software, which he thinks of as the artist's alter ego. So each one of these forms the computer is involved in. And I'll leave it at that. And without further ado, here's Otto.
Yeah, thank you so much. My sincere thanks to Henry, who had an ear for my prose poems, which I've never read in public, which were written 25 years ago under the influence of Charles Olson's essay on projective verse. And thanks to Nadine for her wonderful introduction. I planned this presentation to be in two parts. First, I will read my prose poems. And in the second half, depending on your comments and questions, I would like to introduce you a little bit to what I call my digital aesthetic, by which I mean the philosophy and mindset that I have used in music above all, but also in the visual arts, and in this particular set of poems. These prose poems, they are probably less than 5% of my total poetry output, but they do fit into the digital aesthetic that I have followed, by which briefly I mean that if you consider computer software your alter ego and you work in this feedback loop with the software, then what's really happening is this interchange between your living consciousness and the knowledge embodied in a particular piece of software, be it about music or poetry or images. And if you take that alter ego away from me, I am totally bereft. I work in this loop. So my brain, over 50 years of working with computers, has learned to, I have instantaneous reactions to what a computer will show me, whether it's a table of numbers or a text or an image. But I can go into more details about that later. Let me stay with the poetry right now. Now, in order to begin, I would like to read one poem by a long-time mentor of mine in poetry, who was Harold Bond. One book of him is The Way It Happened to You. Harold taught me not to use one word too much and to leave most of what I had written out. So here's Harold from the grave. The poem is called A Heathen's Sport. A Heathen's Sport. Good Lord, sir, you surely won't abandon your senses to the likes of this creature. It wasn't your doing to inherit him, coming as he did with the sale of this farm. You say he has survived two owners? Then you, the third, might be the curse of him. If he lurks in the pond, kicking up mud and weeds and watching you in the fields, then it is only a heathen's sport. Think of it as such. I beg you, sir, regard him only for what he is, some preposterously overgrown mountain trout, hardly worth the effort of your wits. The 50 graylings you stocked the pond with were his prerogative to devour, sir. If the Guernseys still refuse to drink, then it is their stubbornness to be damned. And who is to say why the pumps clogged when last summer, with the fields ablaze, you lost your crops? I have done my best, sir. I have tried wet flies and dry, he will not be caught. Of course, you could flood him with toxicants. Or you could even drain the pond, a most foolhardy choice, what with the drought and all. We are, in any case, all God's creatures. Think, if you must, of Daniel Webster, years ago in these selfsame hillsides, taking on none but the devil himself. We have each of us our burden, as it is. I wish I could write like that. Now, the poetry I will read is quite different in that I will be taking away from you all the conventional meanings, poetical meanings that you may be used to. And I would advise you to become an observer of your own mind as it tries to make meaning of the stream of syllables and words I'm going to put out. Because this poetry was created as a set, not individual poems, but a set. And this set follows a global design. The input to the generator that I used required me to answer two questions. which word, meaning which vocabulary, so I set up a vocabulary for these poems, and which words when. In other words, how do the words follow each other? And I can give you more details about that later. So let's start. A hero's welcome. As my wheel is etching the seething hearse across the olive grove, I overturn the turpid road, feeling a hell of prayer in my bones. Skin has returned to fear the king. Loss has spoken. Therapy hopes my shadow towards the letter, and its tone is stating chance. I agitate the trees where the dark of water to my land has persevered. Where the base is dropping the garden, wood will rise, and metal law will swerve to make the difference that can form. My fight is not done. I will not drop mass, nor put out night. Like a good mason who supplies the length for another house, I am singing in the dark, counting beyond gloom. The rack of distance around the green is supplying my best. I don't fear marriages of light. A rider from afar. Jazz of fear crashes into empty drumming. I hit oak and cannot figure out 6 miles of women riding against the willow seas. The clarinet of man stirs another heat. Before the day grew, I was serving the moves of shale, and a king was studying the currents of ice, overturning all my turns. Now ferocity is walking in my direction. Force has delivered the spring through music. A young girl upon the top of language is riding in, clinging to a mane. A vapor of milk has stopped her age. She talks hoarse and flies her banner towards the king, who calls her to a halt. She is above the gloom, embellishing the herb of therapy with sighs of hay. The weed of her hair demands another visit to Rome, where she will sleep with Augustus, speaking to Virgil before the face of God turns to Jerusalem. The king will not mate. He is caught in northern seas, following the lines of my palm, and has waxed his ears not to hear desire. But from afar, a rider who cannot be stopped works harder to get at the girl than I can do, arriving at nightfall with a promise of his loins. An eye will appear. The promise of evening floats, and I am evening. I am melting to the point of oil bearing a husband's name. Faith is moving my dragon while I twist armies of mind. Your strength has caught me to park my urges. In a drooping herb where the center is supporting warped metabolisms, you left a hope of child. Unless you are woman and have voice when I cup your breasts with hand, we shall remain the bottom of rock. Will our embraces burn? Roofs have thrown weird tiles against my front, and birds have looked at our togethernesses. Our skin from this story is among their foods. They are rehearsing the note that is pushing the music of surface out of our ears to feed them in their sleep. Relentless force under their current is gaping our true mouths, and in the manner of light, our crash ends where it began, womanly. Before we know it, our bodies are playing 100 rhymes, a folk song along which another mouth is resting its sorrow. The blood of risk laughs without our knowing. Minute by minute, our lips are computing loss. When your brow has grieved, an eye will appear. We'll stop the kiss and gather our age's bricks to new houses, where night's gear shifts into the waters of forgiveness to support the acupuncture of our hearts. Child of vapor. When fear has orbited night, no one can love. The lip of church wants faith to race against any death. I force the oak of therapy, even though woman is trying to farm below my science. All the fears are moving. I'm swelling. I had doubted the hull of surface on a woman spread over moving couches, her head ecstatic. Rhythm from a heart of air amazes her voice, freeing the child inside her embrace. The urge springs to the hell beyond the bed, waiting for words of vapor. I is changing. Out of song's distance, I am hearing Earth's orbit sob. Have I dreamt? Is the child pointing to a simpler age? They counted my fish by the trouble of merit. What can spring filter in a night? Ground is set to naught, and the whales return. In the week that moved death, they smashed my sound and urged another century to form, closing the green frail sea behind my heart. They asked me to appear, and I have grieved for their sake, singing in a child's voice. Convulsions. Where clay meets the sound of iron, you park harm over the death of oak and drop all music. The sun presses the afternoon further. You are gasping, looking for escape. You can't believe in anyone's noisy heart bearing uncaring truth. The hope of language is waiting in a wood behind your tongue. You close the path of sound, computing its strength. Are you fighting gestures? A riotous storm is turning beach to rock, and you are setting up trouble in fungi. The order of day likes your drag. You raced against the weeds, looking for evenings where the center of gloom plays, turning the death of strength into foam for the Venus of Hiroshima. It's a phantom show, a side book for evenings lost in wireless thought, when bitter moons pay lip service to love. Ferocity. Until the fire of ferocity across iron was blasting air under your hell, had you believed the base of child? The seven suns, fires of wind, within the middle along your extent, chasing you from four directions. While your moment beyond language lasted, a ready example appeared, and the stress source wouldn't move. A lip-typed fear. A light inside the mind of paper attacked the gesture from the east. Sound was roaring. Before your front was smashed by the war of man, a new face had formed, and a fungus was singing, "And..." Green Hotel. Since his past has increased, rhythm of women practices on his hull. He turns to the watcher of morning below the career of atmosphere from their science. His land below the sky of wood believes, while every island feels luck, a horse is appearing. Wind is building poetry, amplifying breath behind the saw. The hundred women, willows, horse, a vapor. Before this keyword will help the likely century to come, his image will crash in a fist, moving the soul, the sob underground. Glass has softened his life. The mason of luck is curling gloom. He found certain engines do sing. Time soaring behind their roar. A chestnut of dirt is becoming his mistress in another green hotel. Spirits of marriage want to bend him over the shoulder of fear. What theories do apply? Guitar. The noise of women is reporting sky. While they are touching, their hands point to eyes. I am appearing as the waves hasten forward, extending my running law further to the sea. On drizzled rocks, female feet are standing against my loins as my temperature drops hope. Force has started and I flee to a sun road. The fist of radiation continues another second, but my guitar is staying, edging to the east. My lips compute seas toward a failed queen. No love has sung, and our troubles do not age. I still hope for nights under eucalyptus trees. I must write. I report to the ghost of paper as a place of sight. A thought piercing windows of envy hoodwinks my pen. Doubt celebrates. When the shadows of day depart through the door of script, I increase. Waves are crashing, trees moving, minds soaring. Cannot my paper burn? Some mandolinist is playing me like a saw. I can taste the murder of those soul foods of night. Darkness twists my mind without a noise, with a force not my own. Should the morning return, I could not stay. I would be fighting self. Fear of fungus throughout my gorgeous mind would make me lust for air, and I would rise to burn my paper in a higher, silent house, far above the musty places that I know. Journey into night. Light performs acupuncture on the afternoon. Faith is moving my dragons, twisting armies of mind. You have the strength to show me how to park my urges. In late afternoon light, I watch your face's metabolism sink into ellipses. Your brow grieves, your lips compute a loss, resting me along your mouth. What birds will sing the music of dawn when the gaping between us ceases and the blood of risk laughs no more? The umbrella of evening floats into the room. Afternoon withdraws its loans, light in bankruptcy. The door walks toward us with a smile on its surface, its hinges helpless arms, its handle winking arrival. Rehearsing for morning, I cannot close what we began. Throughout the house, evening shifts into the gear of forgiveness, leaving us as we ascend stairs toward night. Neighborhood. My life. The distance of language. While the lamps of age slept, have I landed on an acorn's roof? Until the cities of mourning are grieving, lost age wouldn't cause the west to surface anywhere near. Ginger root is doing its gloom. Apprehension is falling. We don't fear idiots during their hollow sleep. Despite absence from home, the noises of earth talk of us after our death. The third eye on another head is linking a dirge to the phantom spirit above the music of voyage. My gear shift, a living rhythm. I meet my morning and arm my urge with offspring. My hope, the neighborhood of language. new syntax, my rhythm, living water. Where its trouble at play approaches a ferocity, I view rivers. My voice reads a flower, a desk burns, and my story makes a turn towards the color of liquid hell. While the fungus of morning blooms in day's bell tower, easy summer rises out of language. At noon, a god chooses a new syntax. The fire of my hand celebrates itself in a fist of joy. Iron history does not relent on my nights. Evening comes, speaking memories aloud. From their syllables, a deep red seeps into rivers, turning them hostile towards my return. I have two more poems. Turns of mind. My light, the fervor of language. While the lamps of sense slept, I landed on an acorn's roof. As long as the cities were grieving, a lost age would not cause the east to service anywhere near. I was leaving on the curled highway of stress, where evenings burn oil. Despite absence from home, the noises of earth reached me, but I could not hold the note. Space about another blue hotel did not permit sleep to prod its major voice to alarm. In a phantom church, despair appeared in 100 places. I turned west, facing broken centuries of glass. To follow the laws of mind, I opened a flower and looked into its crystal of calm. Songs to come. Fire, my kind. Since a woman's life has visited my hope, her story about the law of ice has increased me to the dialect of wind, and I am burning. Could she not return? The house of news over trouble is orbiting. Pieces of her mind are hitting my history until the boiling ember runs and its truth is swerving. Ghosts of blood laugh, and in stages, while noise is compressed to stress, war plays every brick hand, and some arrive dead. How can the whole of life throughout the base of fire bend? How does harm work? When science forsakes a man's life, what can woman overturn? What door of trouble will she fail to close? A cry marches on, heating up the rhythm of my land. Has anyone tried song? Thank you. Yes, I can give you some details. Yes. I think I would probably have to go. I can talk about it without the slides, or I can show you some slides. What would you prefer?
Maybe without the slides first. And
okay.
Then the slides would reinforce it later.
Yes. So I was speaking of software as an alter ego. It could be a painting program. It could be a music program that gives me numbers which I can transcribe into an instrumental score or an electroacoustic score. I have actually an example over there which I will show you. Or I could even look at an image, and if I look at it not only as an image that I find interesting, I see in it a visualization of parameters that the computer can manipulate, which determine sound, which determine shape, color, texture. And so each of these, let's say, fields I'm looking at are both what they are, but they are also, based on numbers, something much more abstract. So I've often written, let me start here with the poems. the output which I will show you, I could have written quite different poems using them. But I made certain choices that made them come out the way they did. And I can show you in particular what I mean by that. It's perhaps more clear when I speak about what happens in music, where I have a table of numbers, which I will also show you. It's not a telephone book, but it's a series of columns of numbers, each of which has a musical meaning. One set of numbers stands for the instrument, instrument name or number, for the pitch, for the onset in time, for the volume or loudness. So I can transfer that into notation. So the basic idea here is that when I split my artistic process or my creative process between me and an alter ego, there are two things that emerge. First of all, I am reacting to what a computer program gives me, that I can change at any moment into whatever I think I want. But secondly, I am led to making global designs. And a global design, for instance, I've written two or more different pieces on the same table of numbers. So you can see from that that what the computer gives me is something so abstract that according to my interpretation, depending on my interpretation in terms of what the instruments do in this case, or what I want to do with the colors and shapes, I can do anything with it, basically. But on the other hand, I cannot do anything with it because there are certain things that what I get from the computer excludes me from doing. So it helps, the computer software helps me to make a global design, to work inside of this design, and I can much better show that when I give you some examples.
But the global design, I mean, you're changing the global design from the input that you're having on your previous construction.
Yes, I do change it in the sense that I'm interpreting it. Depending on the knowledge I have about music or visual arts or poetry, I change it. But actually, change is maybe not a good word for this. I interpret it to fit my aesthetic intentions. And at the same time, I'm guided by it as a set of rules, you know. So you can say, all of what I do is rule-based. It's rule-based. But the rules do not concern questions like, would you like to put the C-sharp here or there? Because my global design tells me to put it here. And if I put the C-sharp here into the violin, then that has consequences for how I interpret the next tone that the program gives me, which it wants me to put into the cello. And so I'm working within limits of what I can do without violating what the program gives me.
So with words, how does that work with words?
Yes, I will show you that. I can really better show you that from the slide.
Can I just ask you something?
Yes.
So like with the words here, like the word therapy and acupuncture, these
and
words
fungus.
Kept reappearing?
Yes.
Did you give that list of words
yes.
to the computer?
Yes, that's what I want to show you.
And then the computer spewed them out in this order.
That's right. That's right.
So
that's
you gave
right.
them, you gave it a whole huge list of words.
I gave the computer, the input to this program that I used was about 100 words, nouns, verbs, adjectives, and adverbs. And in a second step, I could then determine the proportion in percent of nouns versus verbs, adverbs versus adjectives, the length of lines the computer would output, and the number of lines, which differ in each poem. So each poem is kind of showing you a different facet of the global design that I made. Thank you.